Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Well, I will say that the episode that I had planned for today changed as I began to study and look at the next portion of the book of Philippians. By the way, if you've got a copy of the Bible, paper or electronic, you can go ahead, open it on up. We'll be in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll be in verses 1 through 3 today. And so, as you get there, I'll kind of finish what I meant by what I said. I had originally planned we were going to look at all 11 verses, but I got to a certain point and a thought came up as I was doing my study, and I was like, it's a good time to just kind of repeat it. I know I've said it before when it comes to what we're going to talk about, and it just was God just kind of telling me, hey, like, I think this is an opportunity to revisit it, as Paul like explicitly states something that causes this idea. So we're going to look at that this week. And then next week, we're going to look a little bit about Paul's story. So it's going to be a little bit of a different episode next week as we kind of dive into a little bit more focused on Paul, which isn't what we've done when we started this series or anything like that. Kind of did some background of the letter. That was a few months ago, but I might have done a little bit of, but I don't remember, if I'm being honest. But what, so I'm kind of excited about that, this new kind of approach to what I wanted to talk about, definitely has given us some good stuff for next week as we kind of dive in to Paul's life, as we kind of look at where we're going to end today and where we're going to go next week. It all kind of just fits together and flows a little bit better with that. And so let's dive in here to Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And it says, whatever happens. So it's kind of like a shift here. Finally is what the word is and some other. But whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. So we're going to stop there. I know it's in the middle of a verse. Everybody that's going to panic about that, let's panic real quick. And because when I was reading it, I was like, we're going to stop in the middle of a verse. We'll pick up with that sentence. We put no confidence in human effort next week as we go into verse 4. But that's where we're stopping. So take a deep breath. And let's see what God has for us in this. First things first, as we see it right off the page, it's like we're kind of halfway through. And so Paul restates, rejoice in the Lord. As we said from the beginning, the theme for this letter is rejoicing in the Lord when things aren't going our way, circumstances and situations, conflict, as we've talked about already in this series, are not, like, it's not going our way, but we can still find to rejoice in the Lord. And Paul is using examples from his own life to show us how we can rejoice no matter what. He's literally writing this from jail to people who saw him in jail, right? So, I mean, like, we're talking here, like, Paul is using some of his life circumstances. And just a little bit forward of what's going on next week, that's kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about another life circumstance that kind of shifted Paul's life. So this is kind of what Paul is saying. It's like, hey, remember to rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, rejoice in the Lord. And he never gets tired, he says, of telling them this. He's telling them these things, these constant reminders. He doesn't get tired of telling them that, because he's doing it to safeguard the faith, to safeguard their faith, your faith, our faith, whoever he's talking to, the reader, right? So he's doing that so we don't turn our back on Jesus. Because in a lot of times, in a lot of circumstances, I've talked to people, I've seen people, I've heard stories in my church of people where they are experiencing some kind of life situation, life circumstance, and the first thing to go is they turn on Jesus. Because if Jesus controls all of this and create all of this, then why couldn't he, you know, all of those kind of things. I'm sure you've heard conversations like that. And that's what Paul is writing here. He's trying to teach this church, these people, and us, and anybody that reads this letter, he's trying to teach them to still be faithful to God. Still be faithful with Jesus, because he's there with us. He's not going to go anywhere. He's there with us. So he tells us to rejoice. And it's hard, I know. Everybody's life is different. Some people struggle with this idea, and I get that, right? Some people who haven't experienced some of the things that we've experienced. Like, for example, he's talking to Paul, like he's talking to these people, and these people haven't experienced life the way Paul has. But he's telling them from his own experience. But sometimes it's hard to go the other way when maybe we haven't experienced near enough of what some other people have experienced, and we're trying to tell them, hey, rejoice, like the all of this stuff, rejoice in the Lord, and they get upset. It's understandable when you think about it, because of what they're experiencing, and we're sitting there, oh, just rejoice in the Lord, come on, I don't know why you don't just, because we understand it to be from a different aspect of life, and maybe not such a hard life. So Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord. And this abiding joy is fitting for the believer because it shows that we really do trust in a God who we really believe is in control. When we believe this, it isn't any surprise that we are then filled with joy. And we see that with Paul as we've gone through parts of this letter. We've seen that Paul is writing this, even though he's in chains, he can still have joy. Rejoice in the Lord is an equivalent to a hallelujah from the Old Testament in the Bible. This rejoice, right? Our theme verse, always be joyful no matter what happens, right? That's a paraphrase, but our theme verse for the year is always be joyful, never stop praying, give thanks in all circumstances, right? So you could split that up. Always be joyful in all circumstances. Never stop praying in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And it says, for this is the will of God. This is what God wants for us. He doesn't want us to turn our back on him. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to understand that we are there with him. And if we believe he's in control, the things that we experience in this fallen world aren't of him. It's of our choice, which he gives us free will to do, or it's of choices of others, and that's where the rub is. That's where the problem, I think, comes in for us sometimes, for anybody who experiences like a life situation that is just crippling. You know, some things that come, like a serious health thing, a divorce, you know, the death of a loved one, whatever it is. And it's just, well, God could have stopped that if he's in control, right? I just read it. We really believe that God's in control. Well, he could have stopped that. That's why I'm mad, because he could have stopped it. But the thing is that it's the way that we view that, because when I look at stuff like that, I've talked about the death of my grandparents on this podcast, and especially my grandfather. He was in some really bad shape as he battled a form of cancer. And now I look at death and it's like, oh God, you could have healed him. You could have healed him, but you didn't. And I'm going to stop going to church and all of these things like that. You could have healed him. In reality, though, Jesus did heal him. Because he's got no more problems. No more pain. No more sorrow. And that's what is truly amazing. And then I think about, like, for example, my wife, who battles this incurable kind of disease that paralyzes her stomach and different aspects that all come into play with all of that and some other health things that she has. And I sit and I look and I know she gets down about it, but she never once throws her fist at God. She gets frustrated and she cries out to him and she may yell and scream at him. But no one ever said that that's wrong. But she never gives up on him. She never turns away from him. So, rejoicing in the Lord no matter what's going on. It's how we find true joy. It's how we don't get lost in our own head and all of that. So now, we get into another, kind of like a big switch. Like, Paul kind of turns on a dime. And I think it's because he wants us, like, to rejoice in the Lord, but then he's like, all right, watch out. Right? Because there's things that are going to try and steal our joy and try to take things away. So, let's read it. He has three things that we should watch out for. He says, watch out for the dogs, watch out for people who do evil, and watch out for mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. So, first of all, what's he meaning? He's not talking about, you know, a Rottweiler here. He's talking about a term of contempt, Jews would use against the Gentiles. Sorry, a term of contempt that the Jews would use against the Gentiles. Because the Jews and the Gentiles like each other. Gentiles were who Paul was trying to reach. And so they were not following the Jewish laws. And then, so it was a big kind of, well, they can't do that unless they're circumcised, is basically what the Jews would say. Well, no one can be unless they are circumcised. Well, that doesn't matter, Paul is saying. We're going to get into that some next week. But that's what Paul is saying, because he says that in verse 3, where he says, we worship by the Spirit of God are the ones truly circumcised. So it's like circumcision isn't that. Like, it was an Old Testament thing where that's how, you know, but Paul is saying that's a way of the old. Like, this is the way that it should be. And in saying that, he's not discrediting circumcision. He's not telling the Jews that it's a bad thing. He's just saying, like, that's not the way it is. That's not the way Jesus would do it. And we're going to talk about that in just a second, but I want to get through this. So another thing about that, he's saying, beware of a quarrelsome and contentious spirit under the guise of religion to hide impure, unclean things, and who are not only defiled, but defiling in their influence. So he's just saying, watch out for these. He was really, like, talking about the Pharisees and those of the time who were walking around, the people that Jesus were after, you know, for walking around acting like they're polished on the outside, but in reality, they're filthy on the inside, all of that stuff. Like, he's warning us to not be like those people and to watch out for them. And this is all going to come to a close when I get there, so I'm kind of leaving this open for a second. So I just want to, like, that's what he's kind of saying, but he's calling them dogs, right? He's using their term against them, okay? Then he says, those who do evil. And this describes the evil things that people do, right? But it also is a word against the emphasis on righteousness with God by works. Paul would admit that they have a concern for works, but they were evil workers. So he's like, you've got to do all of this stuff to be saved. Right? This circumcision, you got to do this, you got to follow all the rules, you got to all these things, right? Is what Paul is saying that the Jews are saying. But Paul is actually saying the opposite. As we get later on in verse 3, where he says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. No confidence in human efforts, right? He's saying, this is not what we've done, right? He writes that in the letter to Ephesians. It's like, this is a gift of God so that no one can boast. Our salvation isn't what we do. That's the important part of this. And that's what he's saying. Like, all of these people who are doing all of these things, they introduce fads and they exaggerate the importance of unimportant things. They try to catch up on every new theory and, you know, try to analyze and ridicule anybody's change in behavior or anything like that. And they follow it to the detriment of actual truth and love. This is what Paul is warning us against here, is these people that make a big deal about all of these things and all of these topics. And there's a lot of stuff that I just won't discuss. Not because I don't want to discuss it, but it's because followers of Jesus are really known for all those things. Well, you're against that. You're against this. You're against that. The Bible says to do that, but you're against all of these things. And how is that? And it just gets into a bigger mess, I think. And it's because it's not the way that Jesus did it. And it's not the way Jesus wants us to do it. That's important. That's what that Paul is saying here about these evil people. He's saying that all these things, like, oh, what about this? What about that? And if we let that person in here, we're going to all this different stuff, right? There are certain things that if I can find an answer in the Bible that's clear cut and dry, yeah, sure, I'll hold a position on it. But if it's not, or it's ambiguous, or it just will create more, like, I just typically stay away from it. And I know that may be controversial. Oh, well, you should talk about it. And it's like, well, maybe I should, but maybe I don't think so. Because I think that sometimes we spend a lot of time talking about things that don't really matter. And it's important that Paul is trying to tell that to this Philippian church, that it's important to remember what we're doing. Because it says right there, you know, in the study that I did, that it's to the detriment of the truth and love. So we're trying to be right. Remember, I talked about that a couple weeks ago, relationship over being right. Sometimes it doesn't matter if we're right or if we're wrong. God's going to sort that stuff out later. Right now, we're called to show love to other people and make disciples and teach them and all of those things. All the while, we're still doing the same thing. And then this kind of goes into, I've already kind of started talking about it, but the third thing to watch out for is the mutilators, which are the Jewish legalists requiring circumcisions for the Gentiles who want to become Christians. This was all done out of the idea that someone must be Jewish first and then become a Christian. And I've talked about this, and this is where we're going to end in today as I kind of close this podcast episode. And this is where I couldn't get by. Because I felt like if we did something here and then we went into the next thing, it would flow, but it wouldn't be as nice as if we just kind of started fresh next week. But I've said it before on here. Like I said it when we did the In the End series at the beginning of the year, and like how complicated we make things sometimes. And this is what the Jews were still doing, not just doing, like it's part of what's been happening, right? This part of what Jesus had a problem with. But we make it complicated. This is what the Jews were doing to the Gentiles. They were like, well, in order for them, like this is what the law says. This is what you're supposed to be circumcised before you can do that. You got to be a Jew to become a Christian. That's crazy business, right? We make it complicated. The Jews were basically saying that the Gentiles needed to clean up in order to follow Jesus. They needed to clean up first in order to follow Jesus. This is not what Jesus did or what Jesus wanted. And I could spend a whole nother 3-4 episodes talking about this stuff. And as a matter of fact, we are. After the summer, we're going to kind of dive into these few things. Just a month time of diving into what Jesus wants. But I think about this this pastor, and I've seen it a couple different times. Maybe you have too. I've seen it a couple different times on Facebook. And it was a reel, it was a short video. So I'm assuming it's been on all the social media platforms since those reels and all that stuff, those short little videos go all over the place, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, it doesn't matter. But he said he was this pastor, and I'm going to kind of nutshell the story, but he's basically talking to this guy who wants to become a follower of Jesus. He wants to become a Christian. He wants to start going to church. And the conversation went to the from the guy to the pastor. The guy said, well, in order to come to church here, or in order to become a follower of Jesus, do I have to stop smoking weed first? And the pastor was like, no. Very simple. He's like, no, no. Like, the guy was like, no, no. Do you understand, like, what I'm saying? Like, do I have to stop doing this? And he even showed him a joint. Like, do I have to quit this cold turkey in order to come to church here? In order to enter into a relationship with Jesus? No. The pastor repeated. And he kind of went back and forth about that either. And the whole idea is, it's like getting all cleaned up and then taking a shower. That's not what we do. We're dirty, so we take a shower. It would be kind of silly to do it the other way, right? And that just shows perfectly what Jesus did during his ministry and what Paul is stating that he's doing for the Gentile people and the Jews, but the Gentile people, right? He's showing that they don't got to clean up first. This is not what we're doing. This is not what Jesus did. I look at how Jesus called his disciples. Not one of them had to clean up first. He just came to them and said, follow me. And then they sorted out the rest. And that's what that pastor kind of ended that story with. It's like, hey, you come to follow Jesus, and then Jesus and you will work it out. Whatever is present in your life that Jesus doesn't like or that isn't good for you, Jesus will point out and you'll work it out. That's the step that we forget. We think that we've got to clean everybody up. We think that we've got to make it all work out. We think that we've got to do all of these things for these people. And in reality, we're supposed to bring them to Jesus. And then when we bring them to Jesus, Jesus and them work it out. That's the step that we miss. And so when I think about it, one in particular, Matthew, tax collector, he's a crook, a thief, whatever, hated and all this stuff like that. But he just came to, hey, follow me. He didn't say, hey, you know, all of this stuff. He didn't ask him to change his ways. He just said, hey, follow me, which is changing his way. But he said, just follow me. Same thing with Peter and the other fishermen. Like, they were probably socially, like, just awkward and stuff like that. They spent a lot of time on the boat. Like, I just picture these humans who spend a lot of time on the boat. Like, social skills are probably not the best. Their language, whatever. And Jesus didn't go, hey, you know what? First, though, you need to not cuss for a week. That's what we're going to do. Like, in order to be in my group, in order to follow me, you need to not cuss for a week. Well, that's not what he did. He just said, follow me. Peter threw his stuff down and followed him. It's so important for us to get this. You know, I had a conversation with one of my kids, and my daughter, actually, and she was befriending, kind of encouraging this kid, and wasn't making the wisest choices, not the best decisions, and stuff like that. And part of me was like, oh no, come on, keep your distance from, don't, like, get messed up in that, right? But in reality, the other part of me is like, hey, you know, show him Jesus. That's the kind of people that Jesus calls us to. If we can help them, if they know us. And so it was like, it was an encouraging kind of thing that, we want them to clean up first. Hey, you can't hang out with my kid because you've got rough edges, and you can't hang out with them because you might. But that's not on those people. That is on me as a parent, to make sure that my kids know how to act and know what to do and not to conform to that kind of stuff, to make themselves fit in. So Jesus didn't do that. The woman at the well, the woman caught in adultery. You can sit here and you can list all these people out. The woman at the well in particular, he didn't ask her to clean up nothing. He didn't ask her to change anything. We might get that mixed up and confused, but he didn't ask her to change a thing. He just said, hey, you know what? You're kind of, you've had five divorces. You're living with somebody that's not your husband, you know. But they went and they talked about other things. And then she started to follow Jesus. And then she sorted out the stuff. Right? Same thing with Paul and the church of Philip, the church of in Philippi. He just did what he had to do, and then they kind of sorted out the rest. The same thing in his own life. Right? We're going to talk about that next week. But I wanted to stop here, and I wanted to offer the invitation. Maybe you've been put in a place where you've been told you've got to clean up, you've got to change what you do, change how you talk, change how you look, change what you do, change all these things. Got to drop the addiction, drop the profanity, drop all of these in order to follow Jesus, in order to enter into a relationship with Jesus, in order to come to Jesus. And that is not accurate. Jesus, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not one of those people cleaned up first. So I want to offer you this opportunity. So let's not make it complicated. Romans 10, 9 and 10 and 13 say, the Romans road says, you know, the payment of sin is death. And that the gift of, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is, so the payment of sin is death. But that Jesus came and he handled that payment when he died on the cross. Romans 5, 8 tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Talk about that verse right there for a second. I have been. He didn't wait for us to clean up and like, okay, now I can die on the cross. That's not it at all. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We've all fallen short. We've all messed up. We are all in need of constant forgiveness and the goodness and mercy of Jesus. We are always, every day, everybody. And it doesn't matter. But Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that if we confess with our, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, and I want to get it in the right order as we do this. So I'm going to go there real quick. I was having a little bit of trouble. That's why I'm not there yet. But basically, this is the gospel message. This is how we start to follow Jesus. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 3:23 says that. Everyone has sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. So we all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So if we openly believe that, that's what he's saying here in Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you openly declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. An interesting verse here is verse 11, where it says, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew or Gentile are the same in this respect. It's interesting that we're talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. So, here it is. You can basically pray these verses that I read. That, you know, hey, like I know what the Bible says. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've messed up. I know that I've fallen short. But I know that you sent Jesus to be the one and only sacrifice for my sins. And that you raised him from the dead, so that I can have life in his name. That's it. It's that simple. And then you and Jesus will have this relationship. And you'll want to repair things. You'll want to fix some things. And Jesus will help you do that. It's so important. So once again, If you want to read this along with me, or if you want to pray it along with me, but basically you can say, Jesus, I believe that you are the sacrifice for my sins and my one true Savior. I believe that God sent you so I can have life in his name. I believe that he raised you from the dead so that I could have eternal life. Come into my life and help me follow you every day. That's it. That's all. And if you did that, I encourage you to dive into the Gospels. I encourage you to find a local church. I encourage you to find a way to let me know. There's ways on our website, but I just encourage all of this so much. And you're never going to regret this decision, ever. And we're going to talk about that a little bit next week, too. And so, once again, if you did that, if you want to rewind this episode a little bit and pray that prayer, however you want to do it, if you want to just calling on the name of Jesus gets you saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's all it takes. It's simple. And then you go from there. You don't got to fix anything first. So important for us to know that. And once again, if you did pray that, if you are contemplating praying that, I encourage you to find, any way you do it, start finding more out about Jesus. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Find out what he's done, the Gospels. And then go to a local church. See what they're about. Have them help you. Don't do this alone. We're not meant to do life alone. So, next week, we're going to look at a story, and I hope you'll come back next week. It'll be one of the ways to help you with this. Next week, and we're going to look at Paul's story a little bit deeper than we have before as we've been discussing this letter to the Philippians, but it kind of fits in here. Paul kind of talks a little bit about his life, and so we're kind of going to open that up a little bit, and we're going to talk about what he did before he met Jesus, and we obviously know that he met Jesus because here we are, but we're going to talk about what he did before for those that may not know. If you know, it'll be a great refresher, but we're going to spend some time doing that. So I hope you'll come back, see that as we continue on in our series, I've Got the Joy, next week. See you there.